Severe Repair by Frank Edward Nora. More information at severerepair.com. Chapter 1. Beautiful Disaster Area. Keepy came into Computer Center. The warmth of the place was a little euphoric in contrast to the snowstorm seen through big windows. And the smell of distant fireplace fires recent to her hair pure white, the college was almost empty. A funny-looking guy with long hair was talking on the phone. He was the only other person in Computer Center, and he was at the admin desk. "I think FEBDA Beta 4 came closest to replicating that function," he said. No, man, I don't know what they're thinking with Beta 5. It's way too ambitious."
Yeah, they're never gonna keep at it long enough. No, I mean, the substance routines, wood types, and fruit, and the basic shapes, shopping."
Keepy was sad and felt some computers. The other her was miles away, the one from yesterday, and she knew there were snowflakes that wouldn't hit the ground tomorrow.
"Yeah, Vipe, yeah, let me go. I got a customer, and yeah, I totally agree about the stop-motion characters. There's, like, no way, you know? Later."
Keepy looked at the guy and kind of smiled. His t-shirt had silly cartoon characters on it, faded. She would have had the goth look, except she never wore black. Her heart was heavy, and almost crying, she took a deep breath and shut her eyes for a few seconds. "Computer Center seems weird, so empty," she said.
"I know, but that's the way I like it. I got a lot of projects I want to work on while it's still Jan term. And just look at all the free computing cycles all around us. I think I'm going to try and make the longest number ever, using, like, every single computer. Well, the longest number to have arithmetic functions performed on it, that is. It sounds cool."
"Yeah, well, anyway, is there anything I can help you with? Didn't you used to come in here a lot? Like back in September or October?"
"Yeah, a lot of my friends were into some of the games here."
"Did you ever play BGBDA?
I thought I saw you playing it a couple of times. That's my version of BDA.
BG, Bertrand Naik, my initials.
I don't even know how it started, but everyone names their BGA clones with their initials.
So you're a programmer?"
"Well, yeah, you know, I do spend a lot of my time with that. I've actually been working on my BDA again over the past few weeks. But I think I'm gonna kind of lay off it for a while. It's just a pointless obsession."
Keepy cocked her head.
"What's the deal with the whole BDA thing anyway?
I heard that a couple guys programmed it like 12 or 13 years ago, but they lost the original program. And what does it stand for? Something disaster something?"
"Beautiful Disaster Area. It was like the best game ever. I actually got to play the original in my freshman year. But then the summer between my freshman year and sophomore year, the Frock E4 that it was on finally gave up the ghost. And that was that. And then it was that next year that everyone started to really try and remake it perfectly. But I really don't think it's ever going to happen."
"So what, that was it? The only copy of it was on that computer? And the computer just broke?" Keepy asked.
"Yeah, I wish it was that easy. No, the way the original programmers made it, it was a kind of self-modifying code. It was like every time someone played it, the actual program itself changed. That's what was so great about it. But over the course of time, the program became so radically different that there would have been no way to derive the original from the modified. And that's what was so cool about it. Just such a primitive computer, and like you'd play these characters going through these worlds, and there would always be new things, new discoveries. I remember when I was playing it, I got to this whole world, this whole fairy tale, nursery rhyme kind of place. And everybody said that in 10 years, no one else had found it. And I have the transcripts to prove it."
"Transcripts, huh?"
"Yeah. Anyway, I mean, can I help you with anything? Did you want to get onto one of the computers?"
"Nah, I don't want to take computing time away from your giant number."
"Aw, come on, one computer's not going to matter."
"Well, okay. Bertrand, was it?"
"Yeah, you know, Bertrand, Birch, B, whatever."
"Well, hello, Birch," Keepy said, and shook hands with him. "I'm Keepy Hawk Fossil. And I think maybe I want to take another stab at that game of yours. If I remember correctly, I think I liked it." Bertrand regarded Keepy. She seemed sad,
She seemed on the verge of tears again. They locked stairs and Burchard was honestly compassionate. Or maybe, Keepy said, accepting the compassion, I just have to talk to someone. Well, sure, Burchard said after a pause. I mean, definitely. You want to go over to the lounge? Like over there, you know? We could talk. Not like I have a lot to do here. But Keepy hesitated, a complex expression on her face. Are you okay? Burchard asked. I'm okay. Let's go sit down. They walked over to the lounge and with some comfy orange couches and a good view of the snow coming down. Gotta love that snow, Burchard said. Burchard, I have to ask you something before we start talking. I just want to know what you think about your future. How do you feel about it? My future? Well, I mean, I'm a senior, and I'll be out of this place in a few months. I'll probably be heading home and look for a job. I'm really excited about computers, you know, a career in computers, because they're advancing at such a geometric rate. In a few years, the computers are just going to dwarf all the computers of today. So I really want to get into a good place, work on all the cutting-edge stuff. I don't know, that's what I really want. And Burchard, do you have a girlfriend? Here or back home? Anyone special to you? Are you close with your family? Do you have really good friends here that you think you'll keep in touch with, or friends from home that you have kept in touch with? Burchard's eyes widened as he considered the question. I don't know. I do have a girlfriend, but I don't know if I want to spend the rest of my life with her. My family's okay, and I have friends. But what is this all about? Look, Burchard, I want to be very honest with you about this. I have a story, my personal story, to tell you. But by telling you, I'm going to be putting you in a terrible position. I don't know. I don't know if it's terrible, but I just have to talk to somebody about all this. It's driving me crazy. Burchard reached out and touched Keepy on the arm. It was a compassionate touch, not a sexual advance type touch, and he made sure his body language conveyed that. What is it? What's driving you crazy? Come on, how bad could it be? Just tell me. I give you permission. Whatever bad situation it'll put me in, come on. She looked up at him. Definitely a goth thing going on. She was short and slim and tragic. Young face, but not so young eyes. The eyes made Burchard slightly scared for the first time in the encounter. She put her index finger sideways between her lips and squeezed, looking intensely toward Computer Center. She finally shook her head and sighed and faced Burchard. Okay, I'll tell you. But I know I'm going to tell someone eventually, so I might as well get it over with. Burchard, you are looking at a time traveler. A time traveler who's not very happy. What? A time traveler. I'm a time traveler. You don't have to believe me. I could easily demonstrate it to you, but I'd rather not. So just hear me out. I just want to tell someone what I'm going through. Hey, look, I'm open to new ideas. I've been really into time travel kind of ideas and all that. Don't worry, just go ahead. It's no problem. I'm glad to help. Okay, I'll tell you. The world is going to end at 4:22 p.m. and 32 seconds. That's less than 5 hours from now. At that time, the world will just disappear. I know, because I've seen it happen. I've seen it twice. The first time, it turned my hair white. White all over. The second time wasn't as bad. I guess I just knew what to expect. Wait. How could you know when the world was going to end? If you were there, if you saw it, why weren't you destroyed too? That's not the way it was. I can feel time. It's hard to explain, but I can feel forward and back, future and past. And soon after I got my power, I realized there was a problem because I realized that I didn't feel anything past 4:22 p.m. on this date. Monday, January 12th, 1687. So you time travel to investigate? Yes, I did. The ending was about 8 years in the future from where I was. I had perfected a way of being in two times at once, just two times superimposed. I practiced a lot. I figured if I passed into the nothingness or whatever it was, I'd still be anchored to that other time so I could pull back. So that's what I did. And that other me, who I was over 30 years ago, will be performing that experiment in 5 hours about 200 miles from here. What, here? Burchard asked. Yes, here. This time. I did it. I waited. I was so scared. And then the clock at 4:22:31, and right when it should have gone to 32, it happened. Void. Nothingness. Cold. Emptiness. Loss. I was there for less than a second, but it took me weeks to recover, and my hair turned white, just like that. So wait a minute, you're saying that this event is going to occur today? Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm so sorry I told you. She reached forward and held his upper arms and started to cry. He awkwardly and slowly moved into a hugging position. It's okay, he said. No, it's not. If I hadn't told you, you would have just disappeared and never knew it. Or maybe you'd just keep going. Maybe it's just me who can't get past that point. I don't know. I just don't know. I'm so lonely, and I have to go back in time again, set up a new life for myself again. Now wait, Burchard said, and broke the hug, pushing her gently away. What do you mean, set up a new life? If you're a time traveler, why not just travel through time forever? There's got to be more than enough to, you know, explore. I do that, but a lot of stuff about past times is disturbing. Violence and bad smells and lots of fucking assholes. I'm telling you, people are real assholes in the past. Don't get me wrong, I like visiting the past, but I like living in the present, in these days, the 80s. But once 422 finally came the first time for real, I had to say goodbye to everyone I loved. All my friends, my family, everyone. I couldn't just go back to my life in the past, because I was already there. If I went back, there would be another me there. And I'll do anything not to be around another me. It's creepy. It's just wrong. I wouldn't do that to myself, to my family. So I had to go back, start a new life for myself, new friends, new loves. But I stayed close to 422. I stayed close. I should go back farther, but I don't like living in those times. I like these times. Burchard's mind was racing. But why not bring everyone back with you? I mean, can you transport other people? Yes, one at a time. But I can do it. But that's not the problem. The problem is I have no idea if the world ends for everyone at 422, or if it just ends for me. There's no way I can know. I cannot personally get past 4:22 p.m. on January 12th, 1687. But I can't say for sure that the world is ending for everyone else. So to tell people about it, take them back in time, it may be depriving them of a true, rich future. Wow. I see what you meant when you said it would put me in a bad situation. I'm so sorry. No, you know, it's weird. I remember reading that with BDA, if it was played every day, it would inevitably crash in mid-January this year. Yeah, like every time the program self-modified, it writes to a portion of the disk. So when it inevitably ran out of room, the disk would crash and the program would be completely destroyed. But they said it would be around this time, mid-January. Of course, the computer died 3 years ago from other causes. But that is just too weird, unless I'm making all this up. I know. No. I'm not saying. I tell you, I don't know, Keepy said. I'm 52 years old, and I still don't know. I don't know if it's just me. 52? What the hell are you talking about? You're not 52. There's no way. She smiled at him, tears streaming down her face. I didn't expect that it would happen like this, but time itself maybe is repulsed by the thought of time travelers. Won't touch people like me, maybe. I haven't aged a day physically since I started time traveling. And you know what? I'm not a 52-year-old woman. I'm a 22-year-old woman who's just happened to experience 52 years. And I assume hundreds and hundreds of more years to come. Wow, I can't wait. I can't really process this, Burchard said. How exactly do you do this time travel? How did you get this power? I really don't want to talk about that now. I just want to say that I'm tempted to face the end again. Try and hold on for more time. Maybe it's just a few seconds of void that I need to get through. There's no way to know, but if I could get through it, I'd get back not just one, but four separate lives. One of them being here at Vatterene College. But I have to get past 422. Keepy, let me tell you something. If you really are a time traveler, I have to say that all my life I have wanted to travel through time. If you want someone to go with you, to help you, I would go without any hesitation, even if it meant throwing away my entire future. I would go. I mean, I think you might know this. I mean, my game, it deals with time travel a lot. Is that why you chose me to talk to? She breathed heavily and stared at him and was thinking deep. Keepy, Bertrude said. If this is true, the whole time travel and everything, it's like what I always wanted. If it's not true, then you're just misguided, and everything will be fine. But the worst thing would be if you don't take me with you, and I flash out of existence knowing I could have been a time traveler. I'll be honest. I was looking for someone like you, maybe subconsciously, but someone smart, someone who could help me, potentially, get me past 422. Keepy, if you can take me back in time, let's do it. Let's just do it right now. I'm ready, willing, and able. Let's just do it. Okay, Keepy said, and she touched Bertrude's hand, and in an instant, it was 40 years earlier. End of chapter 1.